Amen. You may be seated. This section really begins in verse number 17, where in verse number 17, James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And we talked about that in some previous messages about the gifts that the Lord is speaking of here. And God is certainly the giver of good gifts to his people. But there's one gift that far exceeds all of the gift that God gives. And that is the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's no other gift like that gift. Amen. And I'm thankful for that gift. And James hones in on that in verse number 18 when he says, this is how that gift is delivered. He said that gift is delivered of his own will. No man seeketh after God. God of his own volition, God in his own will, chose to save man. We see it as we go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and I'm not going to go back into that, but you know when Adam and Eve fell. Adam and Eve didn't run to God, they ran from God. But God went to them, and he called out unto them and said, Adam, where art thou? And Adam was afraid, for he was naked, and he hid himself, he and Eve, among the trees of the garden. And God began to deal with them and to walk them back into fellowship with him through a series of events. It's a wonderful thing to study there in that section of Scripture. So we have, first of all, God's will being how the salvation is delivered unto man. But then he mentions this, God's Word. Look what he said in verse number 18. Of his own will begat he us with the Word of truth. Now, you can't be saved outside the Word. Actually, you can't even know. Without God's Word, man would not know that he needed to be saved. Listen, God does it all. God tells us we're sinners. God shows us that he's willing to redeem us and to reconcile us back to himself. And God tells us the plan, how that can be done. It's in his Word. And so he says here that it was God's will, but God placed his will within a written word that man may know about it. And he uses a very interesting word here in verse number 18. He said, of his own will begat he us. See, we have been born into the family of God. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to be a child of God. We sing that song, it's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. And brethren, it truly is. The songwriter got it right. It's the best thing I know. There's nothing better than being a Christian. It's a great thing. And so he said, this is how it's delivered. Okay. Now, John, another apostle, he took it up a little different. And he said, you know, we're born again, he said, not of our own will, not by our own blood. It's not by family or something that we can work up. It's nothing that a man can do for you. He said, but of God. We're born again. God has redeemed us. God came to us. And so this is how it's delivered. Then he said this in verse number 19 and 20. He said, this is how it's demonstrated. What? The gift of salvation. He said, it's delivered by God's will and through God's word. But he said, it's demonstrated by his people. Watch this. He said, wherefore, if you're saved now, if you're one of God's children, if you have received this gift, he said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, we're saved. We've been begotten. We have been begotten into the family of God. We're brethren. And James is speaking to we who are saved. And he said, brethren, he said, I'm writing unto you. And he said, this is what you're to do to demonstrate that you've had this new birth in your life. All right? This is what he said. Look at verse 19. He said, let every man that would say he has received this new gift. That's the inference there, okay? Let every man that said he has received this gift. All right? That every man that said he has been begotten of God, that every man that says that the word of truth has been implanted in his heart, let every man, verse number 19, be swift to hear. Anything? No, as we shall see, there is a running thread through these passages of Scripture, and we'll see this before we're through tonight. It's the word of God. Let every man be swift to hear God's word on the matter. In other words, it's not enough just to know what a man says, a professor says, what a thesis is, or a theory, or a hypothesis. What does God say about it? in our Sunday school class, that's what we're studying. What saith the Scriptures? You know, we live in an age where everybody has something to say. I mean, everybody's got their soapbox. You know, they're up and they're screaming out. They've got bumper stickers and they're just, you know, man, they've got 50 bumper stickers on the back of their car and they're up on their soapbox and they're just screaming out through media and through all kinds of outreach. They're screaming out their message. But you know, God has something to say too. And God doesn't always scream out His message. Sometimes it's through the still small voice of God's Holy Spirit. God will speak to my heart and speak to your heart about what His will for your life and my life is. Now, sometimes God is very stern, and sometimes God can get a little volume. But usually, it's through that still small voice where God's Holy Spirit will speak peace to your soul and let you know this is what I want for you. So He said this, look at it. He said, let every man be swift to hear. You hear what God is saying? A lot of voices out there today. A lot. And every voice is vying for our ear. They want our heart. They want our attention. But you know, God has bought us. He owns us. And His voice ought to be the voice that we yearn to hear. I can tell you from my heart, I yearn to hear the voice of God. I want to know what God says about it. And I believe you do too. So he said, one of the ways you can demonstrate that you've been begotten, that God has begat you, is that you would be swift to hear. You want to know what God says. You want to know, what does God say? You don't want to just do what you want to do, or what the world says do, or what other voices say do. You really want to know what God says, and he follows up on this a little later. So he said, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Now this is good admonition. This is just really good manners, but it's good biblical admonition. We ought to be slow to speak. You know, the Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words, Proverbs 15:1, stirs up anger. Sometimes it's good just to listen. I heard a man say years ago, I actually read it, and I heard someone say it, and I thought, you know, I remember reading that, and it said, I've never had to apologize for anything I didn't say. Now, you think about that. Sometimes, when everyone has just got to tell you what's on their mind, when everyone's got to just tell you how they feel, it's good just to be slow to speak. I believe this goes in every walk of life, in the home, in the workplace, in the public arena. It's just good to think things through before you say something. And so that's a good way to demonstrate that you have received the gift. You know, Jesus didn't always just speak. He thought, and then he spoke. And when he spoke, people listened. So he said, you be swift to hear. Verse 19, be slow to speak, and then be slow to wrath. You know, a man that can't control his spirit will never, ever be successful in life. I have people tell me quite often, hey, you know, I can't help it, preacher. I just got a bad temper. Like they're the only ones in the world that has a temper. Can I tell you, everyone that has life has a temper. The word temper comes from temperament. We all have a temper. Everyone does. People say, I just have a temper. Well, I know that. I do too. But the question is not if we have it. The question is, are we going to control it? Or are we going to allow it to control us? Well, here the Bible says one of the ways you can tell a man has the gift, he's walking with God, that God lives in him, is he has control over his spirit. One of the gifts of the Spirit, listen to me, in Galatians chapter 5, is temperance, which is spirit control or self-control. You have to have some control about you. You can't just fly off at every little thing that goes on. You have to choose and pick your battles and know what to say and how to say it and when to say it. And we'll get to that in a moment. But now here it is. Watch it now. He said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. I want to be swift to hear what God's word or God's people, good godly counsel goes a long way. Hey, can I say something to all of us here tonight? If I was going to make a very serious move in my life, I would not do it with much prayer and good godly counsel. Where has our generation gone in life to where we have quit seeking good godly counsel. What's happened? What's happened to where people no longer seek counsel, good godly counsel from our elders and from people that are filled with the Spirit? We just make decisions on a fly and just go and then say, well, you know what? If it's wrong, I'll suffer the consequences later. Yes, you will. But why would you want to, why would you want to make needless moves without time in prayer and seeking good godly counsel from wise people that God has put in the pathway of your life? Why would I? And so I want to encourage you. Find someone that you can confide in, someone that you have confidence in, someone that you know walks with the Lord. And when you're getting ready to make a big move in your life, especially a big move, I'm not so sure I wouldn't do it when I'm making just bigger than usual moves, but if you're going to make a big, life-changing, direction-changing move in your life, seek counsel, good godly counsel. Soak it in prayer and seek counsel. Do you know the Bible says in the mouths of many counselors, there's safety. That's what it says in the book of Proverbs. Matters are established by many counselors. Oh, I can do it, preacher. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know. I know about that. And we've all been there. But as we get older, we should get wiser. And it doesn't hurt to hear from others. Sometimes God will give a man an angle on things that he hasn't given me or he hasn't given you. And it just does us well to listen. Doesn't mean we'll always follow the counsel that's given, but at least we're given a perspective that perhaps we haven't been considering. And so here is good biblical counsel right here. Be swift to hear. That person that God sent to you, don't take that for granted. That message that you heard, don't think that was an accident. That lesson that God laid on that Sunday school teacher's heart, that wasn't a coincidence. Okay? It's God loving His people and choosing to help us through counsel. And so I pray that we would each one be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now look at verse number 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now I think this is a direct statement referring to the last part of verse number 19. You're not going to reach very many people if you have a short fuse. Okay? You say, I can't help it. I just like to tell people off. Well, you're not going to win many people to Christ. You're not going to win many people over if you're constantly blowing up and just coming down on people. And he said in verse number 20, the wrath of man worketh or does not produce the righteousness of God. And so, in other words, if you want to reach people, you got to have a little control of your spirit. Why? Because usually when we approach people with the gospel, they don't just grab us and hug us and say, oh, I'm glad you came. I've been waiting on somebody to tell me about the gospel. Initially, they may be very rude. They may even be cantankerous. You didn't know I knew a word like that, did you? Good Bible word. Now, how are we going to respond when people are mean and rude? We're going to get back with them? We're going to mix it up, show them we got a few little one-liners ourselves and just go off on them? You're not going to win very many people that way. You're not going to win many people. Why? Because the wrath of man, verse number 20, worketh not the righteousness of God. So be careful how you speak. And be careful about your wrath. You could foil a good opportunity, and I could foil a good opportunity to reach someone with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's true, brethren. It's true. Listen, I understand. We're all human, and people can rub you wrong, but we must have control of our spirit, and we must allow God's Holy Spirit to fill us so that we can do the work of God. I cannot do the work of God in my flesh. I need the filling of God's Holy Spirit. And you do as well. So here's good biblical advice. All right? So this is how it's demonstrated. Verse number 18, it's delivered by the will of God, through the Word of God. It's demonstrated by the way we conduct ourselves. And a lot of this has to do with our speech. Now our lives too, but our speech, we have to be cautious. All right? Now, look at verse number 21. This is how it's developed. And I want to spend some time here. Spend about 15 minutes here and We'll see how far we get tonight, but this is going to help you. It's going to help me. This is going to help us. Now, I could stand up here and I could tell you, read your Bible every day. And you would say, oh, preacher, we know that. Yeah, I know you know that. I'm not asking you if you know that. That's not what I said. I didn't say, did you know you should read your Bible every day? I'm saying, do that, right? Read your Bible every day. Now, a lot of times when people hear things like that, oh, you know, I know you ought to read your Bible. That's not the point. The point is not what we know. The point is, are we doing what we know? Right? You see, that's what's going to make a difference. Just to know something doesn't make a difference. It's when we begin to take what we know and to put it into practice, then God can do something in our lives and we can make a difference. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. Verse number 21. Wherefore, now, because, verse number 18, because you're saved, right? Because you're saved, verse number 19 says, wherefore, this is how you are to demonstrate that. And then verse number 21 says this, wherefore, because you're saved, this is how you are to develop that. Because when you get saved, listen, you get all of God, all of Christ, all the Holy Spirit you're going to get. The Word's completed. We got all of this, okay? God's not adding anything to this. And it would behoove us not to add or take from it. Amen. So we've got it all, but now, that doesn't mean we know it all. It doesn't mean we're practicing all. So that has to be developed in our lives. And here James says, this is how that's done. So let's follow along. Number one, he said, wherefore, lay apart. Now this has more to do with maybe a negative. Okay, these are some things that we have to get out of our life that are negative. He said, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Now what does that mean? Well, let's walk through it, okay? Number one, he said, wherefore? He said, lay apart all filthiness. Now, I looked that word up. You say, I know what filthy is. Well, I know you know what filthy is, but let's just see what James, let's see what he has in mind here. The word filthiness here means this. I looked it up, it means this. It means not just a moral or a physical, but a spiritual and a mental, a disorder, an uncleanness. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to a word that the Strong's Concordance closely attached to this word filthiness. And some of you are going to say, ah, preacher, that's gross. Yeah, it's filthy. It is earwax. Earwax. Now listen to me. The reason James, by the Holy Spirit, chose to use this word is because he's setting up something here. All right? He said, you need to remove the earwax, the dirty stuff. Why? Because if you allow the dirty stuff to stay in your life, you're not going to hear the Word of God the way you need to hear it. And if you don't hear it the way you need to hear it, you're not going to be a doer of it the way you need to be a doer of it. So you got to get that earwax out. All right? You ever talk to someone and they huh? And you think, well, you know, man, I can't hear it. Listen, maybe you've had a problem with earwax. You say, I need to get my ears cleaned out. Well, sometimes, and James is not saying get your ears cleaned out. He's saying get your life cleaned up. He said this, lay apart. See, this is something you have to do. So, nobody's going to come hold you down and suck the earwax out of you with a machine. Okay, it's not going to happen. You have to voluntarily take the steps to get that done. It's a process. It's a process that you can have done. Now, if I'm going to have that done in order that I can hear more clearly, then I'm going to volunteer. I'm going to take the steps to do that. Now, the same is so spiritually. So here's what he's saying. Verse number 21. He said, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness. That's not just what you do. It can be what you think. Because many times what you do is a direct result of what you think. You thought it before you did it. Amen. So he said, you know, this filthiness is not just a physical moral issue. It's a mental issue. It's even a spiritual. There's spiritual filthiness. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the spirit and of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So there can even be some filthiness spiritually. All right? The Word of God says so. So here's what he's saying. Wherefore, you want to develop this gift, this Christian experience, this gift of God. Now you're a child of God. You want to develop this gift. He said, you're going to have to lay apart some things. You're going to have to do it. Lay apart all. You say, oh, but preacher, I'm going to keep some of it. Nope. Nope, got to get rid of all the wax. You want to hear clearly? You got to get rid of all the wax. Amen. Lay apart all filthiness. Now look at this next word, superfluity. Now that word, it just means an overflow. It's an abundance. That's what the word superfluity means, okay? It's an abundance. It's an overflow. He said, I want you to lay aside, lay apart, set it apart when God reveals to you. Now, this next phrase is very interesting, so I want you to listen very carefully. When he said the filthiness, the earwax, everyone has it. But now this next phrase, not everyone may share the same thing. Look at what he said. And the superfluity of naughtiness. In other words, it varies. The abundance, the levels of abundance, and the way that it's going about varies with different people. Now let me show you what I'm talking about. When we get saved, when a person gets saved, we bring things with us into our new life in Christ. And it's kind of an undergrowth that's there. And you have to understand what James is referring to here. He's been talking about in verse number 18. See that phrase in verse 18? The word of truth. He's going to expand on that. And he's going to take the word of truth. He's going to break it down into two illustrations, okay? The seed. You see there in verse number 21 where it says, see that word engrafted? Look at it in your Bible. Engrafted. That means rooted. The seed. So he's picturing the word of God as a seed that's planted in our hearts when we get saved. The seed of God is planted in our hearts when we get saved, okay? And then he'll go on and down in verse number 23, and he mentions this word. Look at verse 23. Glass. Glass or mirror. In verse 25, he speaks of the perfect law of liberty. Now, what James is saying here is he's saying the word of God is like a seed that's to be planted, and it's like a mirror that's to be practiced. He said, I want to talk to you about the seed. He said, if you will read the word of God, if you will allow the word of God, look at it in verse 21, if you will receive. Now, you see that word receive there? It doesn't mean just to take in. It means to take in with thought, and then look at what he said we're to do. Receive with what? Meekness. In other words, when I read the word of God, I need to humble myself. When a man's preaching the word of God and the Spirit of God speaking to me, I need to humble myself. I don't need to bow up in pride and say, that preacher, that's not going to tell me what to do. We need to humble ourselves. We're to receive with meekness the engrafted word. We're to humble ourselves when God's word is planted in our heart. We're to humble ourselves and bring ourselves under the authority of the word of God. And when God says and puts his finger on something in my life that God says, hey, that's filthy. Not the preacher now. Not the preacher says it. Now, he may say it, but he's saying it to my ear. And if my ear is clean of wax, God will take that message right through my ear, right down in my heart, and say, remove that. Remove that. Remove that undergrowth. See that phrase there where it says superfluity of naughtiness? That's things that we bring over with us into our new life in Christ. I brought a lot of it. Amen. I did. How about you? I brought a lot of that stuff. Since we're talking seeds here, if you'll look that word naughtiness up in your Strong's Concordance, it's connected with the word weeds. So when James is writing, the Spirit of God says, is painting a picture here of a sower sowing seed on fertile soil, but there's weeds there that has to be dealt with or to choke out the beautiful garden that God wants our hearts and our lives to become for his glory. You see the picture? And so we've got to, listen, we have to take God's word and allow it to work in our hearts. And when we do, God will begin to do great things in our lives. He will. But now, if we do not, well, those things will begin to drag them behind us. And they'll just make what God wants to make beautiful, it'll taint it. There's demeanor. There's habits. There's lifestyle that when you got saved and I got saved, we all come from different backgrounds and lifestyle, different upbringing. And when we get saved, we bring them into our Christian experience. And God's saying, listen, you've got to lay some of that stuff aside. All of it that doesn't belong there. Now, some of it God can use. Amen. Maybe your grandmother, your mother taught you good manners. God can use those in your Christian life. You don't lay that aside. That's not filthy. But now some of it is filthy. And all that's filthy, God said, you've got to get rid of that. And you have to receive the word with meekness. The engrafted, it's planted there. And when God begins to speak to your heart, you got to get rid of it. You can't fight it. You say, well, I'm going to bow up and I'm going to fight it. And I'm going to say, no. You're going to mess up. And it's going to retard your growth spiritually. And it's going to choke the life out of fruit that God wants to plant in your garden and in my garden. And so he said here, receive with meekness the engrafted word so that God can bear fruit in our lives and we can be fruitful Christians. I want to show you something, and this will be as far as I get tonight, but I think it's very important that you see this. If you'll go to verse 22 with me, we're going to talk about this seed for a moment. And I want to show you something in the gospel accounts that I think will really help you. We can take for granted, I've done it, I'm not proud of it. I have a copy of God's word. And while I never want to take that for granted, I would be less than honest with you to say that I haven't taken it for granted. The fact that I own a copy of God's word, brethren, there is not one ounce of doubt in my heart. This is God's word. This is God's word right here. I do not doubt, not even an inch, not even a jot or a tittle, the word of God right here. I've got it. That humbles me. I'm humbled to know that God would not only give, but he would preserve a copy of his word to my generation so that I, like every Christian, before me and everyone after me can say, I have a copy of God's word. It's available to us. It's available, and I'm very, very grateful. I hold a King James Bible. I have the copy of God's word to the English speaking people, and I'm just thrilled about that. How about you? I don't want to take that for granted. I don't, but I have. Now, the same can be for preaching. Do you know you could go to church and hear the Bible preached and have the Bible taught, the Bible preached and the Bible taught, and if we're not careful in time, we can say, oh, well, that's just the way it ought to be. That's just the way it is. No. There's some churches that did not meet tonight. They quit having Wednesday night prayer meeting. Why? They no longer think it's a big deal to hear from God's word on Wednesday night. There's folks that will, listen, there are church houses around our nation, around our country, that will fill up this Lord's Day. And many people will be scrolling on Facebook while the preacher's preaching his heart out. Now, if you do something like that and I find out about it, I'm going to bust your phone. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to pray God will do it. Amen. They'll be scrolling on Facebook. You say, I'd never do that, preacher. Well, that's cool. I'm glad. I don't think you would, and I'm glad that you wouldn't. But I wonder if you would do this. While the preacher's preaching his heart out this Sunday, would you be thinking about something that you're going to do on Monday? It's about not scrolling through Facebook. I mean, in reality, either way, your mind's not on the word, right? And so we have to be cautious while we think some things are so gross and we would never do it. We have to really say, God, keep me aware. Heighten my conscientiousness and my awareness that I stay focused on the preaching and the teaching of God's word, and that God's word receives the honor that it deserves in my attendance. Amen. And so here's what he said in verse number 22, but be ye doers of the word and not, you ready for this? Hearers only. Now, I told you a couple of weeks ago, and I want to share this with you, and I'm going to get you to turn to Matthew, Mark, and Luke and share one verse in each thing, and I'll be through. The word hears there. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to write this word out there if you write in your Bible. If you don't, write it on the backhand of your wife. It is the word that means auditor. Now, we use a word called audio You know, you have video, that's what you see. You have audio, that's what you hear. Now, this word, and I challenge you now, you can go home and look this word up, and it's different than the words we're going to look at that has the word hear. This word is not hear with an intent to put into practice. It's from where we get our word audio, but more specifically, auditor. Now, I told you a couple of weeks ago when I was in Bible college, I audited some Greek classes. That means I was not going to be held responsible for any work. I didn't do any tests. I just sit in on the class. And some of you perhaps have taken a course in college where you audited that class. You sit in, you heard, but you knew, I'm not going to be held accountable for any of this material, so therefore I'm not going to take notes, I'm not going to use this material, I'm not going to be tested on this material, I'm simply auditing the class. That's this word. So here's what James is saying, okay? Again, it goes back to verse 18, speaking of the word of truth, it's mentioned in verse number 19, be swift to hear, different word, hear why, so you can do. Not the same word that's used in verse 22. I challenge you to go home and look this up, okay? It's so. He also mentioned in verse number 21, they receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able, look at this now, to save your soul. We're going to talk about that some next week. It's not talking about just for damnation for eternity. It's talking about damage for now. Amen. He's talking about saving you some trouble now, right now. If you'll obey, if I'll obey, if we'll do God's word, if we'll practice God's word, it'll save us some heartache now. But now if we do not, oh, there's no guarantees. How often have we gotten ourselves in situations because we would not receive God's engrafted word with meekness? And we bowed up and said, well, I believe this and I'm going to do this. And God says, well, now, you know, I say this. You wasn't swift to hear and you didn't take in what God says and now there's a price to pay. All right, we'll get to that next week. Be ye doers of the word. Don't be just an auditor now. Now, what does an auditor do? Well, there's folks that sit in church and the preacher says, you ought to tithe. And they say, amen, amen. Never tithe, they just audited. Right? You ought to go soul winning. Amen, preacher. I wouldn't belong to a church that didn't have a premium on souls and didn't go soul winning. And they shake their head, but they never come soul winning. I just believe it's wrong if a church doesn't have a bus minister now, preacher. And poor little old children, they can't make it to Sunday school on their own. Their parents won't bring them. We ought to run some buses. Of course, I'll never work in the bus ministry, but if you stop it, I'll leave the church. See, those are auditors. And James said, don't be an auditor of the word. Don't just agree with it, but never practice it. Because you're deceiving yourself. You don't see yourself as you really are. And when it gets on down, he says, I need you to look in the mirror. That's why verse 23 follows verse 22. He says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, and we'll get there. He said, that's a man who's looking in the mirror, but he's not seeing what really is. And we'll go there at another time. How important is it for me and you to hear the word, but not as an auditor? Three scriptures and I'll be through. Matthew chapter number 13, turn there. First of all, you've taken the first step by being here tonight. Jesus said in Matthew 13 and verse number 9, he said, it is important that you hear the word. Now, can I encourage you, and many of you do this, many of you are here Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Many of you are here, most of you that are here tonight are that way. I mean, of course, we have our teens and our workers in the back, our juniors and the workers there. We have our lighthouse kids and our kids upstairs. And so I'm very grateful for that. And I'm just reminding you of this. Faithful folks, and I thank God for you. You're not doing it for me. You're doing it for the Lord and you're doing it for yourself. It's helping you, okay? But we're doing it to honor God. But we want to stay faithful. We want to understand it's important. Look at Matthew 13. Look at verse number 9. This is what Jesus said now. Now, I went through, and you go through, you might find more. I counted 19 times in Matthew chapter 13 that the word hear or its form is used. That's a lot. And you say, well, I'll find more. Well, go at it and let me know if you do, okay? But not now. Matthew 13, look if you went in verse number 9. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 9, this is what Jesus said. He or who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You see that? Matthew chapter 13. Everybody with me? Verse number 9. Now what's Jesus saying? He's saying, it's important that you hear the word of God. Why? Because that's where faith comes from. And this is a life of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. So it's important that you hear it. Every opportunity you have, get yourself under the hearing of the word of God. It's going to strengthen you spiritually. But now it doesn't end there. Turn, if you would, to Mark. Mark chapter number 4. This is what Jesus said. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus said this. Look, if you would, in Mark chapter 4 and verse number 24. Mark 4, verse number 24. And he said unto them, in verse 23, he said the same thing he said in Matthew 13:9, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, it's important that you hear. So you think of that word, that. It's important that I hear the word of God. It's important that you hear the word of God. Constantly get yourself under the word of God. Now watch what he said in verse 24 of Mark 4. And he said unto them, take heed, look at that next word, what you hear. It's not just important that you hear, it's important what you hear. You say, well, you know what, as long as a man's preaching, oh, wait a minute, hold it. You'll never find that in this book. Preach the word. There's a lot of people that preach that do not preach the word. Now, thank God there's a lot of people that do. Amen. You pray for them. That's right. But he said, it's important what you hear. All right? Now, I think I can take this two ways. Number one, I think it's important that I hear the pure, unadulterated word of God, what I hear. But I think it's important that I hear clearly. I think this goes back to James 1:22. Because if my ears have wax in it, what I hear might not be what was said. Amen. Right? You see? Now, when Carrie spoke tonight, and I don't think I have wax in my ears, Sister Carrie, but when she spoke, I didn't hear her clearly. But a lot of times when people speak and they're not heard clearly, it's because they have wax in their ears. I'm afraid we've got some folks with spiritual wax buildup, and they need to get that thing cleaned out so they can hear what was said. Not what they thought was said or what they wished was said, but what was said. So here's what Jesus said. Now, I'm telling you what Jesus said. Matt, look at it. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Take heed. Now, listen, when Jesus says take heed, that's important. Beware. Take heed what you hear. So he said in Matthew, take heed that you hear. Here in Mark, he said, take heed what you hear. And then we'll close with this. Luke chapter 8. And this is just as important as the other two, but it's a whole different thing on hearing. I'm talking to you about being a hearer of the word, about what it is to develop our Christian life. The word of God changes our lives. God's word changes lives. God's word has changed my life, brethren. I'm not the man I used to be because of God's word. You're not who you used to be because of God's word. We need to understand that. It's important that we hear. It's important what we hear. But look at Luke chapter 8. Look at verse number 18. The Gospel of Luke chapter 8. This is what Jesus said in verse number 18. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Now, when James said, receive the engrafted word, he said to do it what? With meekness. That's how you hear. That humble spirit. Don't you bow up and don't you get arrogant and proud when a man stands up and teaches or preaches and bow up against it and not receive it. Jesus said, take heed therefore how you hear. And these are ways that the devil will try to challenge us and cause us not to get what God has for us. I don't want my spiritual growth to be retarded. I don't want my spiritual growth to take a left turn. I want to keep growing for the Lord, and I believe you do too. And so here it is. Take heed that you hear. Keep placing yourself under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Read your Bible every day. Get in that secret place and spend some time with the Lord in the Word of God. That you hear. What you hear. Make sure you have a copy of the Word of God, and when someone's preaching, you have your Bible open. Don't ever go to a church without your Bible. Don't ever listen to anybody preach if you don't follow them. Amen. So, well, I know him. I can trust him. Wait a minute. Hold it. Hold it. That's all good and well. If I preach, you get your Bible out and follow. All right? It's important, brother. This is how cults are started. This is how people go astray. The Word of God is that important. Be careful that you hear what you hear, and then be careful how you hear. Is that what Jesus said? It's important. All right? Can't tell you how important the Word of God is. I don't think I need to. I think you know. Let's stand. Our time is up. James is a wonderful study. As we will continue here through this chapter 1, you'll find where James stays on this subject of the Word of God, and he's getting ready to switch from a seed to a mirror. Now, you know what a mirror does, don't you? It shows you yourself. And sometimes it shows us some things that we might not like about ourselves. Right? But did you know if you keep looking in the mirror and you don't see what you like, you might could do some things to fix it. But you got to continue to look therein. Go home and read that. Got to continue to look therein, and God can get you some help. Think about this week, and we'll pick it up next week. What's the difference between, there's two ways that I know of now that a person can see themselves. A picture and a mirror. And you think about the difference. There's a big difference. A picture and a mirror. Think about it. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And I pray that you would help us as we continue our study in your Word. Lord, I pray that you would help us not only to be hearers of thy Word only, but help us to take heed that we hear. Help us to take heed what we hear. And help us to take heed how we hear. That we would be doers of your Word likewise. Would you help us, Lord? Fill us with your Holy Spirit now. And God, as we go out this remainder of this week, help us to take your Word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we would have boldness and compassion to spread your Word to others. Give us souls for our labor. We look forward to the days to come. God, keep us safe and help us to be used of thee. And should this Lord's Day be celebrated by us, God, help us in this Children's Sunday. Be with Pastor BJ. Fill him with your Holy Spirit. Give him the message. God, burn it in his soul that he could preach it to our hearts. Fill him with your Holy Spirit, I ask now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Hope you have a good night. And I hope that you'll pray much for the service Sunday. Bring someone to Sunday school with you this Lord's Day. God bless you.